Okay, so for this sermon, as you can see, things are a little bit different than normal. And I'm going to probably make some people more uncomfortable again. If I can get everyone to scooch down to be at the smallest amount of tables possible. So if you guys could all come over here, that would be perfect. I mean, I can help you move that. If I can get everyone at the smallest amount of tables possible. Otherwise, this might not work. So I could get... Actually, if I could just get all you guys at this one table, this would be great. Faith, if I get you guys all at this one table. Those two tables condensed down to one. Perfect. Thank you so much. All right. Let's pray one more time. More prayer can never hurt us. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this message that you've laid on my heart. I pray that it is something that encourages us and inspires us. Let the words that come out of my mouth be yours. Let us not be distracted. Let us be focused intently on you for the next 20 to 30 minutes, God. Let us leave everything else behind and focus on your word and your glory and what you have called us to be. In your name we pray, amen. Life is a journey. And as probably everyone knows, every journey has a destination. We're always going somewhere. Today, I want to discuss our destination. Not heaven or hell. We'll get to that later this year. Instead, I want to talk about the destination in this life. Where will we end up as a church? What will we accomplish in the town of Roganville? See, everyone does end up somewhere. And a lucky few, an inspired few, end up somewhere on purpose. And maybe you've seen that. Maybe you've seen that in your jobs or in the life of this town. Some people end up wherever life takes them, and some people have a passion to go somewhere, and they get there. Those are the ones with vision. I know for me, being 4 years out of, 5 years out of high school now, I go on Facebook sometimes and I see what my friends do, and you can see the ones who are going somewhere because that's just the circumstances came up, and you can see those who are going somewhere with a purpose. You can see how people's lives change over time. And for the past 2 weeks, we've been talking about this idea of vision, about a God-given picture of the future that produces passion in us. We've talked about how vision makes us excited, it gives us hope, it brings about change, and it also helps us to focus. Today, I want to do something a little different, as you guys can see from the tables. Don't worry, this isn't permanent, but it is important for today. Today, I want to look at how vision is made. I want to walk you through an exercise that I did at Vanguard that really meant a lot to me. It sticks with me to today. I have the results for it stuck on the top of my phone because it always hit home with me. A guy named Paul Frazier taught me this. It's the beginning of how we make vision. So we're not going to come up with a vision statement. We're not going to do any like big planning. My hope is just to show you what we value as a church. So to start, here's a practical example. Some of you might recognize these pages. They are from the town history book. One of the first things I did when I took over as the interim senior pastor was I started to do some research. I wanted to know how this church came to be. So I did digging and digging and digging, and I found these pages from the history book. They tell us that the Roganville Pentecostal Church was founded in, or the first message was preached in 1928 by a woman named Verna Strong and a couple others in the Strong family. They came here with the Pentecostal message. They started preaching and preaching. Eventually, they started having services. I think it was in the dance hall or the farmer's building, something that was around here a while ago. And eventually, they bought out the Methodist Church, which is our old church. Eventually, that grew and grew, and we got to where we are today. What stood out for me was that the Pentecostal message came in 1928. So that means our 100-year anniversary, if we're going from the first time this church started, is 10 years from now, exactly, in 2028. Like I said, life is a journey, And 10 years from now, we have a destination. We have a big milestone on our journey as a church family. In 2028, I think it's fair to say most of us would want to celebrate 100 years. That's no small feat for a church, to survive 100 years of everything that happens in life. It needs to be celebrated. Imagine we invite the town here. Maybe we're having a big barbecue or a party or whatever. Imagine all those people you know from town who don't know Jesus filling this auditorium. Maybe they're all the way up filling the balcony. And we're standing up here talking about our church and what it means to follow Jesus. Our destination is set. Will we be the few people who end up there on purpose? Will we spend the next 10 years with a vision for our destination? This exercise is meant to help figure that out, for each of you individually and for us together. On your tables, you will see paper. Please leave them for now, before I explain the instructions. In a moment, what I want you to do is grab a paper and a pen, and on that sheet of paper, there is a list of about 55 words, different values, things like truth, joy, outreach, relevance, things that you could hold as your personal convictions, like that model we showed, that was convictions and vision, and there's going to be about 55 to 60 words. What I want you to do is circle the 12 that you feel we presently need. Most importantly, and there's always going to be things that we have to do, right? We always have to do worship and discipleship and outreach. What I'm asking you to circle are the 12 you feel that we need the most right now. If we could only focus on 12 things, what would they be? What are the things that your heart breaks for? What do you feel convicted we need to be? An example of this, we've been talking about Paul and his missionary journeys and all of that. Right? Paul felt convicted that he needed to be a light to the Gentiles. So he would have circled words like missions and outreach and reaching the lost. What are the things that you value the most for our church? What do we need to be good examples of Jesus in the next 12 years, 10 years? What are the things that we need to do well? If you're new to this church or you haven't been here for a very long time, I encourage you to do this anyways. I think it's really important that we get different perspectives about what the church is supposed to be. So go at it. It's got 3 to 5 minutes. Circle the 12 most important words. If you have a question, please come flag me down. Josh, you're fine. Thank you. should have mentioned, don't fill out the bottom half yet. It's okay. Okay. As you can see, this is the teacher side of me coming out when I wrote this. This process, I thought about it a lot since I did it the first time, and it reminds me a lot of how Scripture was made, about how the Bible was formed, right? Because God put on people's hearts what needed to be shared, what needed to be written down, what stories mattered, but you can see their lives worked out in how they wrote, in what parts of the stories they felt were most important. A great example is this: if you look at the four Gospels, if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can see their lives and their professions worked out in how they wrote. I always get this one wrong. Luke was a physician, and he has the most stories of healings out of all four of the books because that's what amazed him. John was a theologian, so if you look at his stories, he has the most big overview of what the story of the Bible was. If you look at the book of Matthew, he has all of these references back to the Old Testament because the continuity is what mattered to him. If you look at Scripture, you can see that God uses people and their lives and their passions to work out what is good and right and just. While all true, the four Gospels have different perspectives. Right? We all want to serve God, but the methods we choose can be radically different from one another. So now that you've circled the 12 words, and some of you have gone farther, I would like you to reduce them down to four. What I did when I've done this exercise before, the best way to do it is to look and see if there are patterns in what you've picked. Are you picking the same kind of thing over and over and over? If you have truth and honesty and clarity all circled, that's probably something you care about a lot, is how we speak and what we say. If you have things like outreach and evangelism and justice all circled, well then missions is your heart. So three more minutes. Wyatt, cue the music. If you need a help, if you need a hand, let me know.
Point to people, that's rude. It's from a heartless.
We need to find some better way to communicate. I need like a SOS or something. All right, final step. This one is the hardest one and will probably take the most time. What I would like you to do, if you feel so bold, and if you don't, you should do it anyways, is to take your top four, share it with your table, and try to narrow it down to the top three out of everyone's. Pardon me?
Personally or the table?
Table. So, yeah, narrow it down to your top three at the table. The question is this. If we could only focus on three things for the next 10 years, let's say that's all we could do. We could only focus on three things from here until 2028. What would they be? What are the three things we could do best to honor God, to be a better church in the next 10 years? Three things that we feel convicted we have to do. Everything else is secondary to these three things. And go. Wyatt.
Thank you. We all have seats, because we all have different. That's where I think that's where I improve my teaching. We have the same. I guess that's true.
I'm gonna get there.
That's okay. We're okay. Testing. So, I hope this has been an interesting exercise for you. I hope it made you actually excited for the future, that if we had a church that did the things you wrote down as important, that would be a place you'd be excited to come. I hope that you have a passion for whatever future God has in store for us. We need a God-given picture of the future that makes us passionate, or we're never going to go anywhere. We need to move forward. So, final instructions as we end off today. I want you to look at the words you wrote down and that your table wrote down. And my question for you is this. The words that you wrote down as important, are they being practiced in your life? The things that you have down there as the most important things we need to do for the next 10 years, are those showing up in who you are right now? Do you feel convicted? Do you feel regret when you look at those words? Or do you feel like you're on the right track? You know, if you wrote down outreach, when was the last time you invited someone to church? If you wrote down honesty, when was the last time you fell short of telling the truth? The things that you say are the most important to honor God, are we being those things? I know when I did this exercise, I realized how off course my life was. We did it on a personal level. And I had wrote down that I needed something that engaged my mind. I needed somewhere where I could be truthful. And I needed somewhere where I could help people. At the time, I was working in an awful Christian bookstore where I couldn't tell the truth, where my mind was unengaged, and where I couldn't do anything to help anyone. And I was miserable and drained, and I hated it. And as soon as I did this, I realized I had to find something better to do with my time. So, when you see those words, do you feel like you need to make a change? Do you feel like God is calling you to change some part of how you're living your life? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much that you guide our thoughts, that you are the anchor for our souls, that you brought heaven down, that you want a relationship with us. The things that you've put on our hearts, let them stay on our hearts. Let them be at the front of our mind as we go about our week. Let us not be a people who wander back and forth, but let us be people who are dedicated to honoring you, to being your willing servants. God, I thank you so much that you let us be your hands and your feet. Let us know that if we're convicted, if we feel ashamed, if we feel broken or lost, you bring change to us. Lord, we can't do anything on our own power. You have the power to change and renew our minds and our souls and our hearts. Thank you for being a part of our lives. I pray a blessing over everyone for safety in these icy roads. I pray for healing for Larry as he slipped and isn't feeling too good. I pray for all of those today who had things to do and are put out or put behind, that they can be focused on you and your goodness today. In your name we pray, amen. So just before we close, if you are willing, please leave your sheet on the table, because I would love to look at these. It would really help me a lot to see what everyone thinks is important and valuable. So if you're willing to leave it there, that'd be awesome. If you're willing to put your name on it, that'd be even more awesome, so I can ask you a question if I see something that I think is really, really cool. So either put your name on it or leave it there, or if you don't want me to see it, take it home, throw it in the garbage, set it on fire, whatever you need to do. Amen. You guys have a blessed week. Peace be with you.